like to ask you to turn, please, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he, the Lord Jesus, went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Let's read it again. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. This is what we would call a quiet time. The Lord Jesus had a quiet time. And if the Lord Jesus had a quiet time and felt he needed a quiet time, certainly we need a quiet time too. We're speaking to born-again Christian believers. Unsaved people would not be interested in a quiet time. Like the Lord Jesus, rising up very early in the morning before it was daylight, went into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Let us make a distinction between three experiences in the Christian life: a family altar, the Bible study, and the quiet time. They are different. The family altar is in a Christian home. It has to be a Christian home, where the head of the home, the father, the husband, gathers the family together every day and shares the things of God with them. It's focusing upon the family. The family is in great need today. The children are going in the direction that they choose, and we read about it in the newspapers today. Family is in trouble in America. And the Christian home, I'm talking now about a true Christian family. They're going to gather those children together. And they're going to read the Word of God, and they're going to talk about the Lord, and they're going to have a time of prayer together. That's a true Christian home. We're not talking to unsaved people now, because the unsaved would not be interested in something like this. That's the family altar. The Bible study, that is when you spend time in the study of the Scriptures, preparing for service. Maybe they've asked you to bring a message in the assembly, and it's your privilege and your responsibility to teach the Word of God to the people of God. And you spend time in the book, Bible study, preparing a message for the people of God. A family altar, focusing upon the family. The Bible study in service for God. And then the quiet time. What is the quiet time for? That is personal. That's you as an individual Christian determined to spend time with the Lord. This is what the Lord Jesus did in this verse that we read. Very early in the morning, before sunrise, he found a solitary place where he could be alone with his Father in communion and communication. What is the quiet time for the Christian today? To become more Christ-like. That's what the quiet time is for. To become more Christ-like. It's a rendezvous. It's a rendezvous with your best friend. Who is your best friend? I'm sure you've got many friends. But what a friend we have in Jesus. If you're a born-again Christian believer, your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the quiet time is a rendezvous with your best friend. Don't disappoint him. Don't keep him waiting. I've spoken on this subject through the years quite a few times in the Philippines. Every assembly, we would go over this subject of the quiet time. And the reason, number one, its importance. I believe that your spiritual survival, not your salvation, but your spiritual survival is going to depend on your faithfulness in this quiet time. The second reason why I speak on the subject is because I'm speaking to my own heart. And through the years, I have to confess that this is probably the most difficult experience in the Christian life to maintain. You see, the devil isn't going to like this. And he's going to do everything in his power to hinder your quiet time. Neglecting the quiet time is the first step backward for the backslider. Through the years, I've had folks come to me who have professed to be Christians, maybe for a long time, and something happened in their life. They're living in the world. They're no longer interested in the things of God. And they ask me, what do you think is the problem? You know what the first question is that I ask them? How are you doing in the quiet time? Are you spending time with the Lord every day? No, I used to. I did when I was first born again. But I have neglected it. I haven't been having a quiet time lately. Neglecting the quiet time, beloved, is the first step backwards in the life of the backslider. Hindrances to hearing God speak. That's really what the quiet time is all about. Listening to God speak. And you know what the hindrances to hearing God speak are? A noisy world. We're living in a noisy world, aren't we? You can't hear God's voice because the world is so loud, so attractive. And a too busy life. We're too busy. Oh, I can't have a quiet time because I've got so much to do. Got a program on TV that I've got to watch. I want to watch the ball game. Or I want to attend the ball game. Got so much to do, I can't have quiet time. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I think if we're honest, beloved, we're going to admit that we can always find time for a quiet time. You remember Elijah in the Old Testament? He was listening for the voice of God. They were living in desperate days. They needed revelation from heaven. They needed a word from God. And he was listening. There was a strong wind. I suppose it was something like a typhoon or a tornado. And it says that God's voice was not in the wind. That followed by an earthquake. The whole earth shook. And the Bible says that God's voice was not in the earthquake. And then there was a great fire. God's voice was not in the fire. Do you remember where God's voice was? A still, small voice that spoke to Elijah in his quiet time. I have 4 points that I want to share with you on the subject of the quiet time. 4 words that commence with the letter P. Make it easy to remember. The privilege of the quiet time. The potential of the quiet time. Preparation for the quiet time. And the procedure of the quiet time. The privilege of the quiet time. A born-again Christian believer will want to commence each day with communion, communication, and instruction from God. The Christian is likened unto a pilgrim. If you're a born-again Christian believer, you're a pilgrim. A pilgrim is simply someone on his way home. That's where we are. We're on our way home, aren't we? And pilgrims need direction. We've never traveled this way before. We need direction. And the place to get that direction is in the quiet time that we spend with the Lord. We need our batteries recharged. I'm using that as an illustration. You mechanics will know what I'm talking about. You engineers know that the batteries need to be recharged. And our spiritual batteries need to be recharged. They're going to go dead if we don't recharge them. And the quiet time is the time to recharge, spiritually speaking, those batteries. You see, it's an appointment. We call it a rendezvous. It's an appointment with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's waiting. He wants to meet us. We don't want to disappoint him. If you're acquainted with the story of Moses, with a history of Moses. Moses' life is divided into three periods of 40 years each. The first 40 years, Moses lived in Egypt, going to the universities of Egypt, learning to be a nobody. That was the lesson he had to learn. He learned that in college in Egypt. Learned to be a nobody. The second 40 years of Noah, he spent in the wilderness alone with God. That was his quiet time. 40 years quiet time. Learning to be a somebody. Somebody that God could use. And then the last 40 years of Moses, he was used greatly by God to deliver the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the point is simply this. Moses needed that quiet time in the wilderness, communion with God, for him to be a servant of God. Number two, the potential of the quiet time. That's where the spiritually weak are strengthened. And who of us can say we're not weak? Remember Paul? Paul says, when I am weak, then am I strong. What do you think he meant? When I am weak, then am I strong. I think what Paul meant, when I recognize that I'm weak, then I'm going to have a quiet time. Then I'm going to turn to the Lord. I'm going to ask Him for strength. A quiet time is when the fearful are comforted. We're living in a dangerous day. Do you believe that? Threats all around. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and I'm kind of glad of that. Do you read the newspaper? I hope you don't, because you'll be disappointed if you do. We're living in a difficult day. But I tell you what the Christian needs. He needs the quiet time, because the fear of the threats and the terrorism all around us is going to be taken away. The quiet time is the place where the ignorant are instructed. You know, I'm not as smart as I thought I was. I need a lot of instruction, and I need it every day. And the quiet time is a beautiful place to get instruction for the day. The quiet time is the place where the wayward are corrected. Things haven't been going well in your Christian life. You'll find out in the quiet time how you can be corrected and get put back on track. You see, the lambs and the sheep need to be guided. The picture is the shepherd. He guides the lambs and the sheep. And that can be experienced in the quiet time. The sinful can be forgiven and restored. Number three, preparation for the quiet time. Number one, what's the most important part of our preparation for the quiet time. Listen to the words in 2 Chronicle, God says, if my people shall humble themselves and seek my face, then will I hear. What is it? Humility. You can't get anything out of the quiet time with a proud heart. Notice what the Lord says. If. Underscore the word if. It's a responsibility. If my people will humble themselves. You know, humility is a voluntary experience. It's not something that comes automatically when you are born again. Humility is a voluntary experience. You are as humble as you want to be. You believe that? God's word says, humble yourself. The worst prayer that you can ever pray is, Lord, humble me. Don't ever pray that prayer because he might do it. And I tell you, when he does it, it may hurt. We are responsible to humble ourselves so God doesn't have to humble us. A good prelude for our quiet time. Open thou mine eyes that I may see wonderful things out of your word. That's Psalm 119, verse 18. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Isn't that a good one to start your quiet time with? Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of your word. Preparation. Self-discipline. Believe me, it's going to take self-discipline, isn't it? Very early in the morning, before the sun was up, the Lord Jesus went out for his quiet time. That takes discipline, doesn't it? Select the best time and the best place for your quiet time. That's not always easy. The best time, that probably is different for everyone. The best time for me is early in the morning. That's when my mind is the clearest. Late at night, forget it. Forget it. I can't have a quiet time at night. It's got to be in the early morning. And that's when the Lord Jesus had his quiet time. And the place is not always going to be easy to find either. I don't know whether I should share this with you or not. In the Philippines, I'm going to tell you. You know where I had my quiet time? In the bathroom. That was the quiet place. You make time. You don't take time. Because if you take time, it'll never happen. There won't be any time left. You make time for your quiet time. Do you remember the children of Israel in the wilderness? You remember the manna that fell on the ground every day? And the children of Israel, if they were going to have food, if they were going to have manna, bread from heaven, what did they have to do? Well, they had to get up early, didn't they? They had to get up early. Each one was responsible to gather his own manna. grandma couldn't gather the manna for you. You had to gather it for yourself. Even the children gathered the manna for themselves. And I think that that gives us an example, a good illustration of gathering manna from heaven in our quiet time, early in the morning. Everyone involved. But beware of the enemy. Let's put that in the plural. Beware of the enemies of the quiet time. You know, there's three of them. You know who they are? Satan doesn't like it when you have a quiet time. And he's going to invent all kinds of excuses to keep you from your quiet time. The flesh is another enemy. And I tell you, the flesh doesn't like the quiet time. Talk about get up early in the morning. The flesh isn't going to respond favorably for that one, is it? The world, so noisy, so attractive, it's going to interfere with the quiet time. Don't wait until the concert is over to tune your instrument. Let me run that past again. I believe it illustrates our point. Don't wait until the concert is over to tune the instrument. You tune it in the morning, so that you can muse and meditate upon those thoughts for the rest of the day. Number four, the procedure of the quiet time. It's going to be important for you, and remember, we're talking only to born-again Christian believers. We wouldn't expect the unsaved to be interested. But if you're a born-again Christian believer, I think you're interested. You probably have been practicing it. If you've been careless, pick it up. Carry it out. Determine before God that you're going to have a consistent, quiet time for the Lord. Determine a portion of Scripture. This is going to be important. Maybe you will go step by step through a book, the Psalms, the Proverbs. There are so many possibilities. But choose a portion of Scripture and a reasonable time frame. You know, one mistake that many new Christians make, they realize that they should have a quiet time. So they start out with an hour and a half quiet time that lasts for 1 week, and it goes down to a half hour, and that lasts for another week, and then it goes down to no more quiet time. Be reasonable on the time that you're set. It could be 10 minutes. It could be 15 minutes. If you're real spiritual, make it 20 minutes. But that's going to depend upon the individual between you and the Lord. I would suggest for the quiet time, be brief. Remember, this is a devotional. It's not a Bible study. Now, if we're talking about a Bible study, don't be brief. You can spend 5 hours, 6 hours, or more. But we're talking about a devotion now. Be brief. Because you see, the quiet time is not to stimulate the intellect. The Bible study is to stimulate the intellect. But the quiet time is not to stimulate the intellect. The quiet time is to nurture the soul. You got it? The quiet time is to nurture the soul. Expect to meet the author. You open the book, you open the Bible, and it doesn't make any difference what part of the Bible you read, you're going to meet the author. Look forward to it. Because he is the central theme of the Word of God. Everyone is different. Maybe you will want to jot down a few notes that came to your mind and heart as you were meditating upon the Word of God. Jot down a few notes. File them away, alphabetical order. Make sure it's in alphabetical order or it won't mean too much. File them away for future reference. Meditate. That has been likened unto an animal chewing their cud. Cows and sheep and goats, they chew their cud. Why do they chew their cud? To get every bit of nourishment out of that food. That's what meditation is all about, beloved. There's lots of nourishment there, but you're going to have to spend time. You're going to have to meditate upon it. That portion of scripture, it might be only a few verses. It may even be only one verse. Read it. Reread it. Reread it again. Meditate. Memorize. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's meditation, isn't it? That's memorization, isn't it? Hide it in your heart. Because then as you're going through life through the day and you hit your thumb with a hammer, you will have a scripture for it. Some guidelines and principles to consider. Actually, some of these, not all of them, some of them come from the Navigators. Maybe you've heard of the Navigators. After I got saved in the Philippine Islands in the Navy, I was introduced to the Christian Fellowship of Navigators. They're great on memorizing scripture. It's a challenge. And they're great on the quiet time. They push it. And that's where I first was introduced to the quiet time. And they suggested some guidelines in your quiet time. And we're not going to have time to go into detail, but I'm just going to give these quiet times and a few more to you as you meditate upon the Word of God. Promises to claim. You're going to find every verse, you're going to find promises to claim. If you have a habit of underscoring or highlighting, I do. I used to do the underscoring and now I prefer highlighting. You'll have your Bible filled with highlighting. Promises to claim. I tell you, that'll thrill your soul. Commands to obey. That'll be a more of a challenge. But almost every verse has got a command for you to obey. Responsibilities to accept. Warnings to heed. Sins to avoid. Confess. Forsake. You will run across all of these in your quiet time. Examples. Some of them to follow. and some of them to avoid. There's a lot of examples in the Bible that you want to avoid. They're written in the Word of God for that purpose, that reason. Examples to avoid as well as to follow. Victories to gain. Doctrines to study. Lessons to apply and share. Make sure you share them. Don't be selfish and keep them to yourself. Share them with others. Difficult passages to research. And believe me, you're going to find them. At least I do. And I have an idea you will find some difficult passages. Some passages that you just can't handle. Research them. Underscore them. Share them with older Christians. Maybe they can help you. Or a commentary. Paraphrase. I like to practice that. Sometimes the King James wording is just a little bit difficult. You ever find that? Paraphrase it. Put it in language that you understand. And then a procedure of quiet time prayer. That's part of the quiet time too, isn't it? There are many elements to prayer, and this could take us 45 minutes or more, so we're not going to tackle that. I'll just give some elements of prayer for you to consider. Confession. That is a beautiful time to confess. If you've got any sin that needs confessing, your quiet time is an ideal time to confess. Tell him all about it. He knows all about it anyway, so you might as well tell him. And that will remove the obstacles for the quiet time. Unconfessed sin is going to hinder the quiet time. Worship and praise, that's part of the quiet time too. You see, you give him what he deserves. Remember Mary that broke the alabaster box of ointment and poured it on the body of the Lord Jesus, and how thrilled the Lord Jesus was? You can do that at the quiet time. That's the time to break the alabaster box of ointment on the body of the Lord Jesus. Thanksgiving. Don't forget to say thanks. We're living in a very unthankful world, aren't we? Supplication. Appealing for the needs of others as well as my own needs. Intercession. Interceding. Compassion and concern for others. A good time to make a commitment. Surrender. Our time is gone and we're going to conclude. I'd like to summarize it with these words. Take time to be holy. Doesn't that sum up the quiet time? Isn't that the purpose of the quiet time? To become more like the Lord Jesus, Christ-like. You may not accomplish that in your Bible study, theology, and the intellect. It's got to get to the heart. And the quiet time is the place to reach the heart. The goal of the quiet time is to become more Christ-like. Take time to be holy. a privilege for us to have a quiet time, but it's also a responsibility, isn't it? For us to apply in our own hearts and lives what the Lord has shown to us in our quiet time, and then share it. Don't keep it a secret. That would be selfish, wouldn't it? Most fatalities that I have observed in my Christian experience, most spiritual fatalities are traced to a neglected quiet time. I think you can probably say that all of them. Every backslider. Now, we're not suggesting that he is not going to be in heaven. We're not suggesting that. But if he is a backslider, he's probably been neglecting the quiet time. You can see why this message is entirely for born-again Christian believers. The unsaved would not understand what we're talking about, would not be interested in. You need to be born again, and you need to take good care of that new life that God has given to you in Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for our blessed Savior. Our minds go back to the day when we were born again, when we repented of sin and received the Lord Jesus as Savior. And our minds go back to the time when we were so thrilled about the quiet time, the time that we spent alone with Thee. We have to confess from time to time, it's been a struggle. We pray that You'd forgive. Pray that You'd give us help and courage to pick up where we left off and to carry on a faithful, quiet time for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give Him all the thanks in His worthy name. Amen.